This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Bill Enright here, along with Todd DeVries. Todd, my man, how's it going?
It is going great, Bill. This is the best weekend on the calendar. Would you agree, for the NFL season?
Divisional round of the NFL playoffs, not sure if it gets any better than that.
Nah, you weeded out the really crappy teams,
yeah.
Right? And now the teams that are rested, the best four teams in the league, arguably,
right.
They're in action, man. So this is what it's all about. You got 2 days of football, mm-hmm. Two doubleheaders. Doesn't get any better.
And both of the days are great. Great action. You know, Patriots obviously trying to get one step closer to back-to-back Super Bowl appearances as they play for the Houston Texans. They should be well-rested coming off the bye. They're playing on Sunday along with, what's the other game on Sunday? I believe it's the Falcons and the Seahawks.
Right.
And then on Saturday, you got the 49ers and the Packers, Broncos and the Ravens. I don't know if you can choose which day is better.
Good point. I kind of like Saturday. Because I like the prime time. I like the fact that I can get stuff done. You know, I'm a married man, Bill. I got kids. I got stuff to do.
You got a lot going on.
Cutting the grass.
Yeah,
all that
cutting the grass.
Taking down holiday decorations.
A little fertilizer, you know, a little winterize stuff.
He's out cleaning gutters.
Yeah, exactly. So I have all day to do that crap. And then I've got, 4 o'clock, 4:30, 8 o'clock, back-to-back games. And plus, once the 8 o'clock game is over, I still know I've got two more tomorrow.
Now, do you like the fact that the first game on Saturday starts at 4:30 Eastern, Baltimore and Denver, or do you just like the fact that the game, you like those, you want to watch those teams play?
I like the schedules. Okay. You're saying, comparing the days?
Right.
My favorite game on the docket is, well, we'll get into it later in detail, is Packers-Niners. I love the game, and that's the nightcap. So that's the late game on Saturday. That's what I'm really looking forward to. Hey, and I'm looking forward to seeing Peyton Manning for the first time in an orange jersey in the playoffs. So I'm really looking forward to Saturday. Sunday's, pretty good as well, and we'll get into our predictions, but I don't know if the Texans are going to hang with the Patriots, dude.
You don't think so?
We'll get into it. We'll break it down. I just think that game has the potential to get away from, to not be quite in a very entertaining.
Now, of all the games this weekend, there's four great ones. You want to see the Packers and the 49ers the most? That's the game you're looking forward to, your number one game this weekend?
Yeah, I do. Here's the deal, Bill. I think that the NFC is completely wide open. I really think you could probably make the argument that any one of the four teams remaining mm-hmm. could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Can't say the same thing in the AFC. You can't convince me. I know that we've had this in the past, Bill, past years where the one and the two seeds is destiny they're going to meet in the, the AFC or the NFC title game, and it doesn't happen.
Right.
I just can't. I think it's going to happen. I think you're going to get the game we all want next week. You're going to get Peyton versus Tom. And so I have a feeling that the AFC games are, and Vegas agrees with me, they're bigger mismatches. Anything can happen in the NFC games. I don't quite see it happening in the AFC.
I agree with you that I think the NFC is wide open. I'm not looking forward to that Packers 49ers game. I'm looking forward to that Falcons Seattle game. I'm really excited about watching that game.
I like that one too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That game's for the birds. Get it? Get it? See what I did there?
So funny, Kevin.
Well, you didn't hit the button. Where's the button, Kev? Where's the screech?
I love how Kevin hits the drum.
Well, usually, there it is. Usually, Bill, we can't get two words out of our mouth. Once you say the word Seahawk or Falcon, Eagle, whatever, he just pushes the button. Over and over again, so we're going to hear a lot of that today, I believe.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
I got a new one because of the Jaguars firing today. I looked for a more, instead of like our little kitten meow that I kind of use when someone's being a wimp,
right.
I wanted a more jungle cat sound.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that one.
You can use that one for the Panthers, too.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that one.
What do you got for the Texans?
I think I have like Howard Dean or something.
Yeehaw! How about that?
Yeah, yeehaw would be good.
No, not that one. Oh, boy. It's going to be a long 2 hours, Bill.
listen, we have a great show actually tonight, Todd. We're obviously very pumped up for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Our good friend Kerry Byrne is going to join us. Take a look at some of the quality stats for all four of these games this weekend. Nick Wright, who hosts In the Loop with Nick and Lopez on Sports Radio 610 down in Houston, he'll join us in a little bit later, in just a few minutes, actually. We'll ask him, what's the feeling down there in Houston? What's the atmosphere like? What are the Houston Texan fans feeling now that they know they have to deal with the Texans coming back to Gillette to play the Pats? I mean, if you're a Texans fan, Todd, you're a little nervous, right?
I'm curious to ask him that question because, are they of the mindset of, man, we really screwed up this season. What a disappointment. Right. Or are they kind of past that? And now they're like, well, we screwed up the whole season. We've got nothing to lose. You know what I mean? I'm wondering which way they are right now. You know what I'm saying?
I would be pretty pissed off that they started off 11-1 and they didn't get home field advantage in the playoffs. You know, if I'm a Houston Texans season ticket holder, or, you know, last year or the last two times they saw them in the playoffs was against the Bengals. You want to see the Patriots in the playoffs come down to Houston. I would be pissed off for that reason, that I didn't get a home game that I can go to and watch my team, you know, if I was a Texans fan, play against a quality team like the Patriots.
There's no doubt that they've been in that mindset. The question is, are they past that yet?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are they past that and now they're like, what the hell? Where no one's expecting us to win. Let's just see what happens. You know what I mean? Are they still stewing in the way that they, you know, lost 3 out of 4 down the stretch and it's just been a disaster and they did not look impressive last week, you know? So we'll find out from Nick. He'll tell us.
That's a tough pill to swallow. You know, you lost 3 of your last 4 games, started 11-1. You basically fell off a cliff. You know, I don't know if you can get past that real quick just because of that big, you know, mediocre win over the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer in certain matchups. I'm a big believer in, and I know it's cliche, but watch the first quarter and you're going to know exactly what kind of game it is. You know what I mean?
Even in
like the BCS title game the other night, Alabama Notre Dame, you knew 10 minutes in it was just a joke. It was over. And I think that the Texans are teetering on the edge here, man. If Tom Brady comes out and orchestrates a, you know, 7-play, 80-yard drive to open the game, and then the Texans go 3 and out, punt the ball to the Patriots, they go down and kick a field goal, and it's 10-0.
Right.
You got big problems, you know. We've talked about it time and time and time again, especially for the Texans, Bill. They cannot come from behind if they're down a couple scores. It's not a part of their DNA. They're a team that plays, you know, close to the vest, running game, play action. And they're not a team that's going to, you know, come back from 14-17-point deficits. So that first quarter is going to be humongous if you're a Texans fan.
You know, it is crazy to turn around our opinions about this game. Think back to before Week 14, that Monday night game, Texans and Patriots. We had Mike Tirico on as a guest, and we all kind of thought, you know, this game could be something for the AFC Championship, two of the best teams in the AFC, and now all of a sudden we're kind of singing this tune like, you know, the Texans really don't have a shot.
Hey, well, that's what happens when you lose that game 42-14.
They got embarrassed.
Yeah, and then you get crushed by the Vikings, and you lose to the Colts. So, you know, and they could have – they had the home field advantage on the line, and they couldn't hold serve. So, and then last week, again, they just looked – I thought they looked terrible last week.
Against the Bengals, yeah.
If Andy Dalton doesn't have deer in headlights, they win that game. So, yeah, that's why we're talking about it. On the flip side, look at what the Patriots have done. You know, they had the one hiccup against the Niners.
Right.
Other than that, I mean, I almost lost the bet with you two.
I know, that was a close bet.
You know? And what week did we do that bet? It was like week 5?
The week before the Seattle game.
Seahawks, right.
Yeah, because then they lost that game and we were like, crap, we have to run the table.
Kevin and I were sweating it out.
But yeah, we lasted quite a while, though.
It was the week of
October 8th. Right. October 8th. That's the week that they led into the Seattle game. And the bet was that you thought they wouldn't lose more than one game the rest of the way. And I said they were going to lose probably 2 games, and that's what wound up happening. But like you said, I mean, they lose to the Seahawks, Kevin, and then they win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row, right?
Yeah, and then they were down 31-3, and you were looking all smug, and then they came back. And then I thought, oh, we're going to stick it to them, and then they blew
that
it.
That didn't happen, yeah.
Damn Crabtree.
Kevin, what's the weather supposed to be like this weekend on Sunday?
Unfortunately, it's going to be, I think, mid-50s and sunny. It's going to be, unseasonably warm, which I'm not looking forward to.
Do you think the team, do you think the players, do you think Coach Belichick would have rather had some nasty cold wet weather?
I honestly do. Maybe not even too sloppy in terms of snow and rain, but just cold, just because it's an extra mental hurdle for these guys that are used to playing inside.
Todd, if you had to pick one thing for the deciding factor of this game, what would it be?
The deciding factor?
Yeah, you know, all right. Gronk coming back, he's healthy now, or...
I think I know what we're going to get from the Patriots. I think the deciding factor is what happens with the Texans. And
that's true.
I think that they've got to, and this, you know, this isn't anything you haven't heard before, but I really believe it. They got to get Arian Foster going and then work the play action in. And when they work the play action in, Matt Schaub's got to hit his guys. You know, he can't miss.
I think leading or piggybacking on Todd's point, if they can run the ball and establish Arian Foster and not get behind 10-0 right out of the gate or 14-0 like they did the last time, if they establish Arian Foster, that offense becomes so much more difficult to defend. And, if the Patriots, you know, I think they're ninth against the run this year, or they finished ninth, which is solid. They still gave up over 100 yards a game. They can be exploited, by the teams that are predominantly running teams. I don't know if I would consider Houston, you know, of the ilk of, like, let's say the Vikings that are, you know, way more run than they are pass.
Right.
And I'd like to think that despite Schaub's struggles, he's still one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But if you get Arian Foster off and you can control the ball, keep Tom Brady off the field and establish that run game, I think it then in turn obviously makes Schaub's job a lot easier and he can kind of pick his spots. And I think that's where he excels in those situations.
See, I'm kind of taking a different approach here. I agree with you guys. The Houston Texans running game is very important, and they have to establish a run early and have to get the ball to Arian Foster. But you guys are saying they have to do that in order to help out their passing game. I'm saying their game plan is to establish the run, keep feeding the ball to Arian Foster, just to keep Tom Brady off the field.
Yeah. No, I just touched on that too, Bill. I think that's definitely a factor. Ball control, time of possession. Obviously, if you limit the amount of possessions in the game, you know, there's fewer chances for the Patriots to put up touchdowns.
Right.
And piggybacking on that, Bill, the Texans all week have been kind of, you know, coming out and saying, we need to score touchdowns. You know, they've struggled. A lot has been made in the media. We talked about it on Tuesday, how they've only scored a handful of touchdowns the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't beat this Patriots team, especially up here, by putting up field goals when you get in the red zone. You have to score touchdowns. So I think that's a huge factor. If Houston can move the ball well and control the clock, but they're eating up 5 and 6 and 7 minutes on these drives, but coming away with threes, I still think the Patriots have a chance to win the game.
Totally agree. And what Matt Schaub has to do is he has to roll the dice a little bit. He plays it ultra conservative. He doesn't try to fit it into the tight holes. He waits for someone to be wide open. If they're not wide open, he checks down. He cannot do that in this game. He's got, in the red zone especially, he's got to throw it into the end zone and let one of his wide receivers make a play. He doesn't do that very often. He needs to do that in this game. They've got to score in the upper 20s to have a shot in this one.
Totally. Totally agree with you. We're going to preview this game all show long, talk about it with Nick Wright, who host a sports radio show down in Houston. He'll join us in the next segment. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Todd hanging out. It's the NFL Divisional Playoffs big-time matchup with the Patriots and the Texans this weekend. My friend Nick Wright is the host of In the Loop with Nick and Lopez on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. He joins us live right now on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Nick, my man, thanks for taking some time to talk with us. How you been?
Absolutely, I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
So, Nick, what is the feeling down there in Houston? You know, 11-1, Texans fans probably eyeing up that number one seed in that bye week, and then they have the downward spiral down the stretch. Are they still pissed off that they kind of threw away that, you know, extra benefit of the bye week? Or are they over that by now? I mean, it has been kind of a month of this downward spiral. And are now they kind of like in a we've got nothing to lose state of mind. What's the state of mind down there right now?
Well, I think beating the Bengals got them over losing out on the bye week to some degree, but I think that's temporary. I think that if they lose Sunday, I think you're going to have a lot of people rightfully saying, well, we didn't lose this game Sunday. We lost this game, you know, the last 2 weeks of the season when you needed one win over the Vikings or the Colts to get the number one overall seed, and they blew it because that would have given them a bye and home field, but it also would have meant the Broncos and Patriots end up as the 2/3. They're on the opposite side of the bracket. They play each other, and then you only have to play one of them, maybe not even playing the Patriots, in the AFC title game. And you would have Baltimore, you know, heading to Houston, a Baltimore team Houston beat 43-13 earlier this year. So I think they've gotten over it temporarily, but the only way they'll really get over it, and the only way they really should get over it, because it was such a wasted opportunity, is with a win Sunday.
Right. I mean, what are they thinking of the game last week? Because it wasn't exactly a beautiful game to watch from an outside point of view. The Bengals, Andy Dalton looked like he had a deer in headlights, and the Texans didn't exactly, you know, make the most of their opportunities in the red zone. They kicked a bunch of field goals. So were the fans feeling good that they just got the win and they moved on, or are they just really, you know, questioning if this team can turn it on when it matters most in Foxborough?
I think you summed the game up relatively well. I think that the positives were they did move the football a lot. They, you know, they gained a lot of ground. They had multiple scoring drives. Also, the defense was outstanding. I mean, the defense really was legitimately, you know, top notch on Saturday. And the defense hadn't had a great game in really a couple of months, but to beat New England, they're going to have to, every time they get in the red zone, or nearly every time, they're going to have to get 7 points. The Texans kicked 3 red zone field goals against Cincy. I think that obviously will not work to beat the Patriots. I think there was some to be encouraged by in that Bengals game. Most notably, the defense really did play a tremendous game. The defense played the type of game they will have to play this week to have any shot against Brady. But the offense, you know, moved the football. The offense was not, like you said, efficient in the red zone.
Nick Wright from Sports Radio 610 in Houston is joining us on Patriots.com Radio. Nick, Dan Shaughnessy, writer from the Boston Globe, called the Texans terrible, said this game was a layup for the Patriots, wrote this game against Houston is going to be easier than the game against Tim Tebow and the Broncos last season. What did you make of that column? And we know Arian Foster is kind of using that article as some bulletin board material.
Well, you know, I could have I would have really ignored the column and just said, okay, you know, Shaughnessy's entitled to his opinion, except for that one line that you referenced, that this Texans team is somehow worse than last year's
right.
Bronco team with Tim Tebow, which is just the height of absurdity.
That's ridiculous,
yeah,
right?
We talked about that on Tuesday, Bill.
If you read that column, it read as if, because Shaughnessy wrote it, that, you know, the Texans are a fraud, that the first team with back-to-back buys, the New England Patriots, nobody's ever had this easy of a path to the conference title game. It read to me as if halfway through the column, he was like, oh, crap, the Patriots played the Broncos last year, and they were terrible. And he just threw that in. He was like, oh, no, everyone's going to say that it was actually an easier path last year. And so he threw it in, and like, you know, almost as a throwaway line. Listen,
right.
The Texans didn't play well down the stretch. There's no doubt about that. But they also were 11-1 at one point in time for a reason. They were crushing the league, including dominating Denver and really throttling the Ravens and
right.
beating the Bears when those teams were at their peak. And so the idea that the Texans can't win this game, or the idea even that it would be an enormous upset if the Texans won the game, I don't really buy into. The Patriots are better, and the Patriots should win the game. But the idea that this would be, you know, some type of upset the way the 0-1 Patriots beating the Rams in the Super Bowl was, I don't buy that in the least.
If the Texans do beat the Patriots this weekend, you think they can beat the Broncos?
Oh, I know they can beat the Broncos. They already did beat the Broncos. And everyone says, well, that's when the Broncos weren't playing great.
Right.
I find it very interesting that everyone has just kind of decided that, oh, the Broncos just weren't playing great at the beginning of the season when they were playing all their difficult teams. I mean,
Falcons,
I think
Texans,
that,
yeah.
Right. I think clearly the Broncos were not playing as well then as they are right now this moment. I also think that you don't know what shape whomever wins the Broncos-Ravens game. There's going to be a key injury. I know McGahee might be coming back. He might not be coming back for the title game if they get there. I know they can beat the Broncos, and obviously they can beat the Ravens, especially because that game would be in Reliant. I've said this throughout the week, and I believe it. If the Texans win Sunday,
yeah,
I believe they will be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl, whether that means going to Denver and winning or beating Baltimore in Houston. If they win Sunday, I think they'll go to the title game. I think winning Sunday is their tallest order, though, and I don't know that they can do it.
I just want to make this clear, Nick. You are not a Texans fan. You actually grew up in Kansas City. You're a big Chiefs fan. So it's not like you're secretly rooting for the Texans.
I mean, I'm pretty, you know, unbiased on this. Here's if I can sum up the Texans season in about 30 seconds. Throughout 9 games, the Texans dominated the league. The 9th game was a 13-7 slug match, beating the Chicago Bears to move to 8-1. After that 9th game, the defense took a step back, maybe a couple steps back. Notably, letting the Jaguars score 30-plus. I think the Lions score 40-plus in back-to-back weeks, and letting the Patriots dominate them. The Texans' defense absolutely, unquestionably, took a step back after that 9th game of the season. But they were still winning. What caused the real downfall of the final 4 games of the year was the defense had taken a step back, and then also, starting with the Patriots game in Week 14, Matt Schaub was abysmal, really, throughout the final 4 weeks. So
right.
The final quarter of the season, you had a defense that went from elite to just pretty good, and an offense that was just awful because the quarterback played his worst month of football in 5 years.
Yeah.
What we saw this past Saturday was the defense back to absolute, as good as you're going to see a defense play that doesn't have Brian Cushing, and the offense play well moving the football, but Schaub not really sharp and the team not sharp in the red zone. It gave you a little bit of hope because that effort, that defensive effort that you saw from the Texans on Saturday, that's enough to beat the Patriots if the offense holds up its end of the deal. You just don't know if they will.
I hear you.
All right, Nick. So let's put you on the spot here. You got a Super Bowl prediction for us?
Oh, a Super Bowl prediction? Oh, I was
all the way. Well, yeah. What's your Super Bowl prediction?
Can I throw it back to you guys and then
sure.
I'll answer? I just have a philosophy question for you guys.
Sure.
I picked Packers over Bears in the NFC before the season, and I picked Texans over Broncos in the AFC before the season, and the Packers over Texans Super Bowl. Since my preseason pick is still alive, even if I don't fully, do I have to stick with it? Am I morally obligated to, whenever someone asks me who I have going to the Super Bowl, say the same two teams I had at the beginning of the year, as long as they're still alive, or am I allowed to change it?
That's a great question, Nick, because I'm in the same boat, buddy.
Todd, your Super Bowl prediction is still alive from preseason.
I had Packers and Patriots, so
right.
I'm kind of trying to weave theories to get those two teams in there, if you know what I mean. Now, Bill, our buddy Bill here, he had Cam Newton in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So he doesn't have to worry.
Cam goes ham.
Yeah, so Bill, you weren't in the same boat as Nick and I.
I'm a big Cam Newton fan, too, but that was you bought into Ryan Khalil's preseason hype, evidently. Was it Ryan Khalil or Matt Khalil? I get them confused.
I think it was Matt Khalil, yeah. As soon as he sent out that letter, I was like, oh, that's it. That's my Super Bowl prediction. Love Cam Newton.
Right, if I hadn't picked preseason the Packers-Texans,
yeah.
You know, right now with 8 games left, who do I like? Gosh, in the NFC, I love the Packers, but I don't know if they can block the 49ers. I think that's really tough for them. And in the AFC, it's hard, at least for me right now, to pick against New England. I think that's especially because they will likely not play another game on the road this postseason. Gun to my head right now, I'd say Packers, Patriots. But I'm not going to go on the record with any prediction different than my preseason one until my preseason one is officially dead. So I guess I'll say Packers-Texans.
Hey, good for you for having a preseason prediction that's still alive. Both you and Todd both have your Super Bowl predictions alive from the preseason. Mine was sadly ended in Week 17. Probably ended in, Week 8 because the Panthers were just absolutely terrible this year. I don't know what I was thinking.
Who'd you have the Panthers playing? Do you go Hub Arkish, have them playing my Kansas City Chiefs?
No. I actually had the Chiefs. I had the Chiefs in the playoffs, I think. Or did I have? No. What did I say, Todd? I said fighting the Broncos the last game of the season for the AFC West title, and then losing to the Broncos.
No, you had them in the playoffs, bud.
No, I don't know. It was so long ago. I can't even remember what I did yesterday.
Yeah, conveniently forget, Bill. Okay, so last thing here before we let you go here, Nick. Quick thing on the Chiefs. Andy Reid, thumbs up, thumbs down. What are your thoughts?
I like the hire. I really wanted them to make a strong run at Bruce Arians. I understand why they wanted to get it done quicker. I just really was impressed with what Bruce Arians did. Obviously, he's a quarterback's guy, and they're likely going to be drafting a quarterback number one overall. But I think Andy Reid's a very good coach. I have no complaints whatsoever.
You can follow Nick on Twitter, @GetNickWright. And if you're ever in Houston, turn on 6:10 a.m. Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 a.m. and catch Nick's show In the Loop. Nick, thanks for talking with us today, and hopefully I'll see you soon, my man.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Interesting stuff there from Nick Wright, Todd. What do you think?
Well, he's given – I think the one thing I disagree with him is – just
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
That's a huge compliment.
Yeah, they're happy down there in Houston, man. It's they're ready for the
news.
There's no hope with Joe.
His show's on at 6 a.m. He's probably very tired at 4 o'clock, 4:30 Eastern.
You want to get high?
That's my assumption.
Oh, watch out. Kevin's on a roll here.
Yeah, God, that's all we need. But what did you disagree with him, Todd?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
He kind of referred a few times to how dominant and how encouraging the Texans' defense was last week.
Well, they did shut down the Bengals. I mean, regardless of whether or not A.J. Green was targeted, he was still only held to 5 receptions. But Jarvis Greenellis didn't have a really good game. Andy Dalton was absolutely terrible.
I know.
Is
but
it
I
more
think
of the Bengals being bad or the Texans really shutting them down?
That's my point. I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think it was the Texans were just so dominant that Andy Dalton couldn't do anything. He missed plays, Bill. I mean, he had A.J. Green wide open for the game-winning touchdown, a potential game-winning touchdown.
Yeah.
Didn't hit him, you know. He left plays on the field. So I think it was a little bit of both. I think Andy Dalton was just god-awful. And the Texans defense, hey, they looked a lot better than they had the previous month. But
right.
I don't think they're the world beaters that everyone thought they were going to be at all. So I think that's a little bit of fool's gold there. And I wouldn't be completely encouraged if I was a Texans fan.
You know, the thing about this Texans defense is they were so dominant all season long. And then week 14 came, and they lost 42-14. Brady had 296 yards, 4 touchdowns. Ridley and Vereen had a good day on the ground, over 110 yards combined between the two of them. And that was all without Rob Gronkowski. So regardless of how the Texans were playing in the regular season or even the first 13 weeks of the year, it seems like lately they just haven't been – they've been a shell of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. But, hey, you know – I'm not going to give them zero chance to win this game. I don't think it's that dire of a situation. I think that there is talent there. And again, if they can get out of that first quarter unscathed or maybe with a lead, you know, they could be all right. Like we've talked about at the top of the show, they got to get that running game going, obviously. And Matt Schaub, I think he's got to take a few chances, you know?
I don't know if a Matt Schaub led passing attack can keep up with Tom Brady.
Well, he's going to have to.
Yeah, well, if they want to win, he's going to have to try. Doesn't mean he's going to be successful in that attempt.
Well, all I can say is this, is that, again, watching Matt Schaub, and I've seen a lot of him this year, much more than I would like to have seen, quite frankly.
I feel the same way. Why is that?
Well, you know, they're a preseason top, you know, team, top pick,
they got
sexy
a lot of
pick,
action.
And got a lot of primetime games. I'll say this again. I think... And this was the same way with Donovan McNabb for years in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Donovan McNabb didn't throw a lot of interceptions. He also didn't take a lot of chances. He always took the safe underneath route.
Right.
If you weren't wide open, or I shouldn't say wide open, if you didn't have complete separation, he wasn't throwing it to you. I see a lot of that with Matt Schaub. He's so afraid to make a mistake. Now, he threw that pick six last week. That didn't help either. You know, on a simple out route when he waited 2 seconds too long to throw it, right?
That was terrible.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, he's going to have to squeeze that ball and have a little confidence in his receivers on the deep routes. You know, don't just go for the safe check down to Arian Foster on 3rd and 11. You know, you got to throw it in there for Andre Johnson, Owen Daniels, and hope they make a play. And he's going to have to do a lot of that this week. And if he can't get that done, they're not going to win. He's going to have to put up – how many yards do you think he's going to have to put up to win?
Matt Schaub, in order to win the game?
Win the game.
Over 330.
330? Wow, that's a little higher than I was going to say. I mean, he's going to have to throw for north of 275, I would think.
275? Well, listen, what are you giving Foster? A buck 20? Buck 10?
Foster somewhere between, yeah, about, just like 100, 110.
And how many carries? 25, 30?
25.
See, that's the thing. And you said it in the beginning of the show. If they can establish in the first quarter the running game and give Foster the ball 25 times, throughout all four quarters, then maybe Schaub won't have to do that much. It keeps Tom Brady off the field. But listen, if Brady and the Pats come out and they're up 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, then Schaub will have to throw the ball a lot. They can't just stick with their ground game. It's not going to work.
I know. I'm saying if they're going to win, they're going to have to hang in there, hang around. What's your line, Bill? Hanging around?
Hanging around. Check, 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 check.
Bill Enright, the man of many, many voices.
You got it. And they're all spectacular.
Terrible. So, I don't know, man. I just put it this way. Matt Schaub's going to have a good game, obviously. He's going to have to throw the ball down the field. They're going to have to get some big chunk plays. They're not going to be able to do it, Bill, on 4 yards of, you know, running every single play. They've got to use the play action to their advantage, and they've got to strike down the field. If they don't, they're not going to nickel and dime the Patriots and win.
Do you think at this point the Texans and Gary Kubiak kind of realize that Matt Schaub's not going to get it done? They have to give the ball to Foster 25, 30 times a game, and they're going to really rely on J.J. Watt and that defense to stop, try and not stop, but stall Tom Brady in the offense. Maybe that's what their game plan is. Maybe it's not make the mistakes. Maybe it's not take the chance. Maybe it's
that's a terrible way to go. You cannot play that way in this game. I totally disagree. If that's what they're going to do, they're going to get slaughtered. They're going to get slaughtered.
I just feel like that's what their team is built for, though.
Tough. No, their team is built. I think their team is built around the run, like we talked about. But the thing is, when you have the deep pass, take it, throw it, make it happen. I'm looking here at Matt Schaub. We're talking about his yards in this game, Bill. Mm-hmm. He's thrown for more than 275. He threw for 290 against Denver. Mm-hmm. 527 against Jacksonville.
The Jaguars, right.
315 against Detroit, and 275 on the nose in the finale against the Colts. So four times all year that he hit 275 or more. So, you know, I don't know, man. Trying to figure out ways for the Texans to win it, Bill. It's going to be tough. Obviously, if the Patriots aren't careful with the ball, Stephen Ridley gets the little fumble rooskies going on. That could play into it, obviously. Special teams could help, too. But if it's a pretty clean game straight up, they're going to have to take chances, in my view.
You know, I'm surprised. Let's focus on the Patriots offense here for a second. We've been talking about the Texans for a while. I'm surprised this hasn't come up yet, or at least a little bit more the last couple weeks. But I'm really excited to see Hernandez and Gronkowski on the field healthy at the same time. We have not seen that yet from the Patriots since what, week one? Hernandez got hurt in week two against the Cardinals, correct? I think is when he tore up his ankle or sprained his ankle. And then, you know, he came back healthy and then Gronk got hurt. I mean, I guess we saw him both healthy week 17. They were both on the field.
Yeah, we're on the big screen right now. Give me a chest bump.
Right. So, I don't know. I'm excited to see that. Remember last year? Remember the divisional playoff game last year? Hernandez was getting carries out of the backfield. They were doing all kind of crazy stuff. I think that could happen this week. Right. Well, I'm just saying. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing Hernandez and Gronkowski and seeing what this offense was really supposed to look. I mean, listen, it was the number one offense in the league all year. But I really think it was catered toward using the players that were out on the field instead of being built, instead of being utilized the way they had planned
in
the preseason.
Are we saving predictions, like score predictions for the end? Is that what we're doing?
No, what do you got?
No, I was just curious if we were going to do like a round of predictions. I didn't get that far ahead in my outline.
We can do that now if you want.
No, we don't have to do it now. We can save it. We should tease it now and do it later.
All right, well, what do you say we do this?
It's called the Big Market Tease, Bill.
Let's take a quick break.
Mr. Newhouse, Syracuse.
And, you know, our previous guest was also a Newhouse grad. And
Did you guys go to the bars together?
Too much hashish.
We did a lot of bad things up at Syracuse.
Scotch?
You know, Nick was really one of my friends that I hung out with outside of class. Like, I may keep in touch with like two or three people that I graduated with from, obviously, my good friends and my fraternity.
Did he sound like that when you were in college?
No. I'm very shocked. And actually, alcohol was not always his poison.
I love scotch. Scotch is scotch, scotch.
He was a big Hennessy guy, if I remember.
Down into my belly.
Nick was a big Hennessy guy, if I remember right.
Ooh, he liked the good stuff.
Yeah.
See, that was out of my budget in those days. I could barely afford Natty Light or whatever the heck I was drinking.
Well, that's Mad Dog 2020.
That's another thing. Nick and I always had a good chunk of change because we gambled our brains out. And we tended to do very well. I mean,
wow.
We gambled.
Did you go to Turning Stone a lot?
Yep, all the time.
Yeah.
Almost
you think
every
you had a gambling problem. I was the one driving like 8 hours in the other direction just to get there.
Because
you only had to be 18. You and it was BYOB. You could bring in a cooler.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. We gambled on everything.
It was great if you were at Syracuse, if you were driving from, like, you know, central Massachusetts. Then you have a gambling problem.
It was less than 45 minutes for me. And I think he had like a Dodge Durango our freshman year. You know, no one had cars our freshman year.
Oh, yeah.
But somehow he swindled it that he got a car. So we took trips every weekend. We gambled on Madden, cards every night in the dorms. It was crazy.
Yeah, our problem
was...
We
always did very well.
We had the, you know, the dorm games going, but we would take these eight-hour joyrides, and my buddy would steal his mom's, like, Range Rover or whatever they are, Land Rovers, and you'd, pile as many kids in there, you'd drive out there, and you'd take shifts, because we would sleep... We would sleep in the car, like, we would stay from Friday to Monday, and you would sleep over in the car, and you would brush your teeth in the public restrooms in the casino.
Oh,
and you would just grind out money.
Wait, you slept in the car? Why didn't you get a hotel room? It's a hotel.
Didn't have enough money.
Oh, my.
Didn't want to blow that money.
Isn't Mohegan Sun and the other one by? What's the other one?
Yeah, but you had to be 21 plus to get in there.
So you guys lived like real life rounders.
Oh, it was awful. I mean, I wouldn't say we weren't as successful as those. And we weren't like also running tables and colluding with each other.
You were like, you weren't in law school, you know, just on weekends.
I remember like being like 18, freshman year. We made it was my first time ever in a casino, obviously, at that age. And I remember almost getting into a fist fight because I like rivered a flush with Jack 10 of clubs. And I told the guy, I made some smart comment. I made some like, you know, ethnically irresponsible comment.
Yeah,
and it almost turned in, like, came to blows right in the middle of the room. This is like my first visit.
Once, I used to be a degenerate. Once my mom found out that there was a casino that you only had to be 18 to get in, she didn't want me to go to Syracuse anymore because it was so close, and she was so worried that I would just spend all my time there.
My mom, even worse, I would come home, and you know, my sister or whoever would, you know, figure out that I, you know, had been playing or whatever, had gone to a casino, you know, Facebook, all that junk, and then
there was no Facebook in college.
Well, for me, there was.
What?
I joined Facebook like in freshman or sophomore year.
When did you graduate?
I graduated in 2009.
Oh, all right. I graduated in 2007.
So
there were maybe 2 years of Facebook when I was
I'd say that's right.
Yeah, all right.
So anyway, you know, I came home and my mom thought that I was going to be like thrown in jail for playing poker. She thought it was like illegal.
Yeah.
She was like, "You're going to get cut or you're going to get thrown in jail." And it was just terrible.
I mean, the casino games were fun, but the real lucrative, profitable games were the ones in the dorms where people would just come out of the elevator, see us playing, want to sit down, and have no idea what they were doing.
No, and then we had this area out at UMass called Northeast, and it was extreme. It was basically, you know, there were some, I'll say, American kids, but mostly Asian students from other countries that had, you know, come in from Korea or Taiwan or whatever, and those kids would gamble like crazy. And so whenever you wanted to go to, like, a high-stakes game, you had to go to Northeast, and they would run these games, like, in the basements of dorms. It was great.
I hear you. I can't believe it's the NFL playoffs when we're talking about poker and gambling.
It was great, though. Gambling's awesome. Now I want to go. I got to go to the woods.
Todd, do you have any gambling stories? You want to get in real quick while we're still on this topic?
I'm not a gambler, dudes, but one of my best friends from high school went to MIT, and he was on one of those famous MIT
teams. That's awesome.
One of those blackjack rings?
That's awesome. Yeah. Card counters.
That's pretty cool.
I'm much older than you guys. So, you know, I keep in touch with them, you know, during Christmas break and spring break. When I went to Penn State, he went to MIT. And I'd be like, yeah, we're going down to Daytona Beach, you know, where are you going?
He's driving,
like,
oh, yeah.
Caribbean. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, and then he stopped talking about it for a while because they kept getting booted out of places.
Right.
And then, honestly, he got married about 5 years ago, and then he let the stories fly. Right when that movie was coming out about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
great.
Was it 21? Is that the movie?
Yeah,
yes,
21.
It was with Spacey, I think.
The book is Bringing Down the House.
Right, exactly. And, so, you know, he was on the B team. He wasn't on the A team. But they made a lot of coin for a bunch of young college kids.
All right, enough about gambling. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll get back to the NFL playoffs. And this is what we're going to do. We'll start ranking the remaining teams, eight playoff teams left, three categories, passing attack, rushing attack, and overall defense. And we want to hear from you, so call us, 508-298-0398. Do you think the Patriots passing attack is the number one passing attack left out of all these eight teams? We'll get into that discussion next on Football Nation.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
Huge compliment.
Yeah, you know.
Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman. who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriot scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Go! All right, welcome back. Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Todd hanging out with you. We're going to rank all of the teams, eight teams left in the NFL, the eight remaining playoff teams. We're going to rank them in three different categories, passing attack, rushing attack, and overall defense. Todd, what do you think? We'll start off with passing?
Yeah, let's go with the passing games, man. So the passing games, what we're going to do here, Bill, you know, the quarterback and receivers in tandem.
The tandems, okay? Yeah.
Right, it's not just the quarterback, not just the receivers, not just the wide receivers. We're kind of looking at the complete package here. And to me, it kind of comes down to It really is. There's a separation, to me, in my view, after the top three, maybe four teams on our list. And there's a distinct line between the other four teams left.
I 100% agree with you.
Okay, so let's just 100%. Start real quick. I mean, I think it's safe to say Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers, other than Michael Crabtree, they don't really have a lot going on in that passing game. So we're going to rank them last. Right?
Vernon Davis has completely disappeared. They're eighth. I agree.
Now, the Patriots fans might disagree after the show that they put on in Foxborough. But when you look at these teams, all in all, they've got to be last. The next on our list, number seven, the Seahawks. Russell Wilson, we like him a lot. He just doesn't have a lot of weapons to throw the ball to. They thrive off the running game.
You know, he had 26 passing touchdowns this year. Sidney Rice and Golden Tate only really names at the wide receiver spot. But you're right. It's all about the running game and Marshawn Lynch.
All right. Number six, Joe Flacco and those Ravens. Antoine Bolden woke up out of his slumber last week, right?
I was shocked that it was him and not Torrey Smith.
I know.
Bolden, five catches, 104
yards, and, you know,
and a touchdown.
When Bolden, Torrey Smith, Pitta, and Flacco were on with Ray Rice catching balls, certainly very good. And maybe we could have ranked them a spot higher. But the problem is they're so inconsistent. And right. I just, you know me, I don't trust Joe Flacco at all. Yeah. Torrey Smith shows up every 5 weeks. Antoine Bolden shows up twice a year now, right? So that's why they are number six on our list. Number five, Texans. I like Owen Daniels as a tight end.
You do like Owen Daniels, and they're using James Casey a little bit and Daniel Graham or whatever his name is. But, you know, it's really just Andre Johnson.
It is, but he's had a good year.
They got two rookies, Devye Posey and what is his name, Keyshawn Martin, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, maybe you could argue that the Texans should be six and the Ravens five. Actually, the more I think about it, maybe I'd like to re-rank those. But those are the four bottom feeders. Then you get the top four. We're going to put the Broncos at number four.
You said in the beginning, this is a big step up. I mean, from five to four, it's
totally
like,
great.
You know, worlds above.
Right. So obviously you got Peyton Manning at the helm. You got Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker, who's just, you know, what a combo. You got the possession guy. You got the deep threat monster. They got a couple tight ends that can play a little bit, so we like that. We like that passing game quite a bit, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, let's see what Peyton Manning can do outside in the cold in Denver.
Yep. Well, we're going to find out.
Haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we'll have to check the weather when we do our previews. We'll get on and take a look at the weather in these other games.
All right.
When we do that, number three, the Atlanta Falcons: Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, Gonzo, Jacquizz Rodgers out of the backfield can catch the ball. So
sure.
They've got a lot of weapons, and I think you would agree that the pair of Roddy White and Julio Jones and Gonzo, the trio, I should say, that's pretty good. Doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I think out of the four teams, Broncos, Falcons, and obviously the two other ones, you can figure it out, Packers and the Patriots, I think of those four, the Falcons have the most elite weapons. Julio, Roddy, Gonzo, two solid wide receivers, one great tight end. And then, you know, I think that we downgrade him a little bit because – you know, Matt Ryan's a quarterback, and we like Matt Ryan. We think he's a quality quarterback, but
he's
when you put him in the conversation with Brady, Rodgers, and Peyton, you know, with the Falcons wide receivers and tight end, they could have been higher, but
right.
They get downgraded a little bit because of the quarterback.
Yeah, Matt Ryan probably has, well, you can make some arguments here, but he has some great weapons. Number two on our list, we're going to go with the Packers, which makes the Patriots number one. The difference for me, Bill, is, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, pretty much on the same playing field in my view anyway. You know,
yeah.
Both excellent quarterbacks. Tom's having
right.
a better year than Aaron, in my opinion. They're both on the same playing field. It's the weapons, you know. Hernandez, Gronk, Welker, Lloyd. Tom Brady's got a lot of the guys to throw to. So does Aaron Rodgers, but
sure.
Not quite to the level. I mean, your boy, JaMychal Finley.
Why
do they keep throwing it to him, by the way?
I have no idea. And
he drops everything.
And they did it in the red zone, and I was watching the game with a Packer fan, and he said, why do they even bother with this guy anymore?
He either drops it or he pushes off. It's something bad happens when they throw it to him most of the time.
I've been calling him a bust for years.
I know. But, hey, he's got Aaron Rodgers has Randall Cobb, a healthy Greg Jennings. Jordy Nelson's still questionable, correct?
Yes.
So, you know, he's a little banged up, but they got James Jones. So he's got a lot of weapons as well. He can throw it around, spread it around quite a bit. So, So there you go. So Patriots 1, Packers 2, Falcons 3, Broncos 4, Texans 5, Ravens 6, Seahawks 7, Niners 8. That's the way we rank the passing games of the Elite 8 in the NFL.
All right, now let's kind of shift gears here and go over to the rushing attack. Because let's be honest, it's all about the quarterback in the NFL, but in order to, you know, pass the ball effectively, you do occasionally have to run the ball. You have to hand it off once in a while. So very important here. Kerry Byrne will tell you, no, the rushing game does not matter. The Giants were the worst rushing team in the league last year, and they won the Super Bowl. But I'm still a believer that it's important to run the football.
Right. Number eight, flip it around a little bit here because you got the Packers at number eight, right?
Right. We had them two for passing. But their rushing attack is terrible.
But, hey, DeJuan Harris has actually looked okay.
In the one game that I actually saw him play, he looked all right.
Yeah, but, you know, Grant, it's him, it's Grant. It was Starks earlier in the year. They've got a million guys that they throw in there, and none of them blow you away. So there you go. Now, you know what, though? If we didn't really factor in the quarterbacks. I guess they don't run enough to factor in that offense, but Aaron Rodgers is pretty nimble.
Well, I'll tell you what, the last time the Packers and 49ers played back in, you know, week one of the season, Aaron Rodgers actually led the team in rushing.
Yeah, exactly. That tells you all you need to know about their running back situation.
Yeah.
So they're so number seven, the Falcons, Bill. And this is surprising. If you would have told me that the Falcons were going to be in the final eight of the NFL in the preseason and we were doing the same exercise, I would have thought the Falcons would be much higher. Michael Turner, Jacquizz Rodgers, they're just – I mean, Turner, he's kind of over the hill. Or he's hit a wall or something.
Yeah, he's averaging just around 3.5 yards per carry, and he definitely doesn't have that burner that he was once known for.
Not at all. It's all about the passing game with the Falcons now. Number six on our list, the Denver Broncos. Willis McGahee might be back for this game. No Sean Moreno. What a shocking surprise. I mean, here's a guy, Bill, that, you know, I can't stand No Sean Moreno from a fantasy football perspective.
Right.
He came in out of Georgia, all this hype, and he's never, ever healthy. And just when you thought he was going to have a breakthrough, he would get injured again and again and again. So what happens? The starter gets injured. He steps in. He's looked great in the absence of McGahee.
And, you know, they used a – what round did they pick Ronnie Hillman this year? Second or third?
Yeah, I think it was third round.
So, yeah, they knew that they kind of needed another running back on this squad because Willis McGahee, you know, on the wrong side of 30. Maybe even, you know, John Fox and the Houston John Fox and the Denver Broncos staff kind of said, you know, we're kind of disappointed in No'Shawn too. But you know what? He performed really – ever since McGahee went down with an injury, you can't say anything bad about what Moreno's been doing.
No, he's looked good. We all thought that Hillman would be the guy, and that was not the case. Yeah, Moreno, Bill, the last the month of December, all right, 20 carries, 69 yards, 32 carries, 119, 21 for 115, 22 for 78, and in the final game, a laugher, he only had 15 carries for 44 yards, but they didn't need him in the 38-3 thumping of the Chiefs. So they're number six on our list. Number five are the New England Patriots. I think you have to say that they've been a pleasant surprise in the running game this year.
Absolutely. Stephen Ridley had a phenomenal year, finishing the top 10 in rushing yards. You know, they mix in Danny Woodhead, Shane Vereen, Brandon Bolden, but I don't think they belong, you know, with the next group of teams that we're about to discuss.
All right. Now let's look at the teams we just went through, 8-5. Those are the teams that were in our top four in passing, so it's just a flip-flop. And all four of them have elite quarterbacks.
Correct.
Now you get into the non-elite quarterbacks. So what do these teams do? They live off the run. Number four, the Baltimore Ravens, Ray Rice. But how about Bernard Pierce, the rookie from Temple?
That's right. He had another quality game last week. I think he had over 100 yards. Rice had a couple fumbles in that game, so they kind of went with Bernard Pierce a bit more than they normally would, and he performed really well.
Nice 1-2 combination there. Number three on our list, the Houston Texans with Arian Foster. The difference, I guess, the deal with the Texans and why they're three and not number one, Bill, in my view, is first of all, they don't have a running quarterback, right?
Right.
And secondly, I mean, we kind of like Ben Tate in the preseason, but really it's either Arian Foster or nobody.
Right. You know, this list, obviously, Arian Foster is the best running back in the NFL now that Adrian Peterson's knocked out of the playoffs. If this list was only going on the sole running back on the team, then the Texans would be number one. That's how good Arian Foster is. But as you'll see, we have Seattle and San Fran in the next two. And like you said, they both have running quarterbacks. And that is a big factor when your quarterback can, you know, take off and run.
Right. So number two is the 49ers. Again, Colin Kaepernick, he can get out there and make some plays, obviously. The Cyborg Gazelle. Was the nickname he had coming out of college. It hasn't quite caught on yet. Don't know why.
Yeah, but, I don't know. That's a sticky one, too.
Yeah. So the Cyborg Gazelle, and then you've got, obviously, Frank Gore, who's had a nice season. You know, he and Andre Johnson were two guys I kind of had written off this year, Bill, as two guys that were kind of over the hill and kind of on the end of their careers. But they both had good seasons, stayed healthy for the most part.
Totally.
Not bad. So Frank Gore's in the mix, you know, and a rested Frank Gore, Bill. He didn't have to play in the wild card game.
Right.
So he's healthy. You got LaMichael James they throw into the mix. So they got some weapons there. Number one on our list, beast mode.
Seattle Seahawks.
Marshawn Lynch. And then you add in the running element of Russell Wilson. And he's a smart runner. And as much as we like RG3, Bill, as a player, the injured RG3, and don't get me started on that whole thing, which we ranted about on Tuesday, RG3 is a little more reckless, you know? He doesn't slide when he should. He always tries to get those extra yards, and he's paid the price this year. Russell Wilson never seems to get hit. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Very. Not that he doesn't get hit because he's so elusive, but I think you said it correctly. He's a smart runner.
He's like, you know, I might be able to get 9 yards here, but I'll take 6 yards, you know?
Right. He's kind of like Aaron Rodgers in that aspect.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's not a bad thing when you're a quarterback. No, you're running back, different story, of course. So Russell Wilson, smart player. You pair him up with Marshawn Lynch. Robert Turbin's a good-looking rookie from Utah State. I think it's pretty clear that they have the top running game in the NFL of the teams that remain.
I mean, Marshawn Lynch has been in beast mode the last 5 weeks of the season, including their wild card weekend game against the Washington Redskins. 5 straight games with over 100 rushing yards. He's having probably the best season of his career. 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns this year. Marshawn Lynch and that Seattle offensive line, they really get things going.
That's it, yep. So there you go. To recap the rushing rankings, Seattle 1, Niners 2, Texans 3, Ravens 4. Patriots come in at number 5, respectable number 5, I would say.
Yeah.
Broncos 6, Falcons 7, Packers 8.
All right, what do you say? Let's turn our attention now toward, we just did the offense. Let's do defense. Now, when you talk about defenses, we're not necessarily just talking about, well, they can rush the passer well, or they have good cornerbacks. We're talking about overall total team defense here. Number 8, Todd, who do we got?
The Green Bay Packers.
They're just terrible. Their defense is so bad. People actually thought, this is how bad their defense is. People actually thought that with Joe Webb coming into the game last week instead of Christian Ponder, that the Packers didn't prepare for Joe Webb, who's a running quarterback, that it gave him a better shot of beating the Packers. That's how bad their defense is.
I thought that was a silly comment. I heard the same people you heard, you know, in the pregame talking about, the Joe Webb effect could be costly.
But that just goes to show what people think of the Green Bay Packers defense. Right.
Yeah. Lack of respect.
So they're number 8.
Yeah, they're number 8. And you know what, though? When Woodson's right and Clay Matthews is right, and they've been dinged up and hurt most of the year, but when they're both healthy, they are playmakers. But, yeah, they're number 8 in our book right now.
Yep.
Number 7, how about Ray Lewis's Baltimore Ravens?
I never thought that there would become a time where we're talking about the playoffs, talking about the Baltimore Ravens, and we would have their defense outside the top 3, let alone the top 8 with only 18, let alone the top 5 with only 8 teams remaining.
Yeah, well, that's where they are.
Ray Lewis is old. Ed Reed is old. Terrell Suggs was banged up all year, really not performing like he did last year. They lost their star defensive back. You know, there are a lot of holes in this defense.
I believe I was reading, we're going to have Kerry Byrne on here in a little bit from Cold Hard Football Facts, and I was reading a great article they had, 16 mind-blowing facts regarding the divisional playoffs, and there was an interesting stat there about the Ravens, and here it is. The Ravens finished 17th in the NFL in total defense in 2012. Mm-hmm. That's the team's lowest ranking since they finished 22nd back in 2002. So this is their worst defense in a decade.
Wow. So, okay.
And they allowed nearly 2,000 yards rushing this year. And that's the most in the team's history. So this is, you know,
if the Ravens didn't play as well as they did at the start of the season, they would not be in the playoffs because they absolutely bombed the second half of the year.
Yeah, they did. They're not good.
But the rest of their division just, you know, didn't shake out. The Steelers sucked, and the Bengals made the playoffs, but really were no threat. If the Ravens didn't play as good as they did at the start of the year, you know, they would not be in the playoffs right now.
Totally agree. Let's move on to number six, Bill, the Atlanta Falcons. Now, you and I we'll get to our predictions here later in the show, but I mean, we've never been believers in the Falcons. They need to prove it to us. Whether it's offense, defense, whatever. Prove to me that you can win a stinking playoff game.
I agree, and we will get into those predictions a little bit. I think we're going to not butt heads, but kind of disagree on who's going to win that game, so I'm looking forward to that.
I see where you're going there. So we got them at number six. I just don't believe in them whatsoever. Number five, the Houston Texans, Bill.
This was the number one defense for the first 10 weeks of the season, but the way they played the last, you know, three of the last 4 weeks of the year, we moved them all the way down to number five. I mean, what else can you say about how the Texans finished the year and even look last week against the Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking here. They're just not. I don't know. Again, we had your buddy Nick from the morning show down there in Houston on earlier in the show, and he was praising the Texans defense last week, and I can see where he's going with that, but I think he gave them a little too much praise. I thought that was a factor. The big factor there was Andy Dalton just didn't show up.
Yeah. And
it was almost like he had a Notre Dame jersey on. He just looked just terrible. Deer in headlights, didn't want to be there, didn't know what was going on. And so the Texans are number five. Number four on our list, the New England Patriots. And that's what do you think about that, Bill? I mean, that's kind of tough to rank the Patriots because their defense is not so hot most of the time.
You know, I think we took the easy way out. We put them right in the middle, dead smack at number four. Can they get after the passer? Yes, when the passers match up, they certainly can. Can they cover in the secondary? Yes, obviously, Aqib Talib, big improvement there. When you're considering the opponent, the Texans don't have a whole lot of options to go to anyway. So we kind of stuck them right in the middle here. It was a safe play, Patriots at number four.
They've given up the same amount of points, by the way, as Houston this year.
All right, so 4-5. Bang. We nailed it.
Yeah, and actually, we're going to get to Green Bay's given up three. They've each given up 331 points this year. The Packers have given up 336. Ravens 344. Kind of looking at the season and when the points given up so far. So,
okay.
All right. So who do we have at number three, Bill?
The Denver Broncos. Love the way Von Miller gets after the passer. I think Champ Bailey still one of the better cornerbacks in this league. And you know they're solid in their defensive line, their linebacking core, and their secondary.
All right. And Denver's number three. Let's just go to number two, Seattle, and number one is San Francisco. Now, the reason I wanted to get those three out of the way, Bill, is they're three of the top four defenses in the league statistically in points against. Seattle's actually number one, 245 points against on the season. San Fran comes in at number two at 273, and Denver number four, 289. But
who was that other team? Just out of curiosity.
You'll never guess it.
No, you're right. I won't.
Chicago Bears.
Oh, I could have guessed that.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, but you made it seem like it was gonna be the Jacksonville Jaguars. You'll never guess this one.
All right, I don't know. I wouldn't have put the Bears in that mix.
Well, when you think of the better defenses that are not in the playoffs right now, you got to mention the Bears. Anyway, Seahawks and the 49ers. I mean, their defenses are phenomenal. You really can't say anything bad about any of their players on defense.
One thing with Seattle, one of the reasons why we don't have Seattle number one is, first of all, they got to play on the road the rest of the way. Number two, they lost their best pass rusher on that ridiculous cow pasture called a FedEx Field last week. Right. Chris Clemens, he's out for the rest of the season. So that definitely hurts them quite a bit. And then you got the big mouth, Mr. Richard Sherman is, he's always a factor as well.
I saw him mic'd up. I saw a clip of him mic'd up, and I saw him go up to Trent Williams after the game, and I don't know what was said, but Trent Williams was standing there with his helmet on, and he says, "I'm going to punch you in the face," and Richard Sherman said, "Do it then," and then he did it. So, I mean, I don't know, if someone tells you, "I'm going to punch you in the face," and then you say, "Well, then go ahead and do it," and then you get punched in the face, I mean, you can't be surprised when that happens.
You know what's a little disappointing is you got Sherman. You got a great matchup with the vaunted Seattle cornerbacks going up against the best tandem of receivers, arguably in the whole league, in Julio
right.
Jones and Roddy White.
Sure.
But Julio and Roddy are like, they're the most non-diva like wide receivers in the league.
Roddy White is starting to become a little bit diva-ish.
Is he?
Yeah, he had a little comments this year that I kind of turned me off to him a little.
Did
bit.
He? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I missed that. I forgot that. But you know what I mean? Is like, man, if you had Sherman against like a T.O. or a Chad Johnson back in the day.
That would be great.
Or, you know, even Dez Bryant, you know, some, you know, you could have a real blow up. Maybe Roddy will get a little heated. I want to see some heat. I want to see some fire in that dome on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you with that. Totally with you. So that's it. That wraps up the defenses.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see how far it takes them. I mean, the Niners are, they better damn well play good defense because they got the Packers this week. And if they advance, they're going to have to go to the Dome to play the Falcons, or they're going to have to welcome in the Seahawks, who drubbed them a few weeks ago.
You know, remember last year when the 49ers and the Saints played against each other in the playoffs, and everyone kind of thought that it would have been a low-scoring game, and the 49ers defense is so good. It's a high-powered offense with the Saints versus a really great defense with the 49ers, and that game ended up being like a shootout. It was like in the 30s. I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up like that this weekend.
That game was awesome, 36-32. I have
yeah,
the stats
right.
here. I think that the reason we weren't sure it was going to be a shootout was because of Alex Smith.
Right. And he ended up having three touchdowns and a rushing touchdown, his best performance of his career.
In the game, first of all, it did not go into overtime, and it was 20-14 in the fourth quarter, and then all hell broke loose. Mm. In the final 4 minutes, four touchdowns were scored. Right? You had, remember Darren Sproles on the 44-yard pass?
Yes.
Then you had Alex Smith on that crazy run. Was it third or fourth down? He had the huge run.
I think it was, I remember the run. I think it was third down.
Do you remember? Because they were losing at the time by 1 point, and they were at the 28-yard line, so they had to kick a 45-yard field goal. And anyway, it was like a bootleg, and he ran it in. And then that was with 2 minutes, 11 seconds left. Then Jimmy Graham catches a 66-yard pass down the seam from Drew Brees
right.
with a minute and a half left, and you're like, it's game over. Nope. Vernon Davis caught the pass. It was kind of reminiscent of the Terrell Owens catch back in the day when he was crying from Steve Young. Remember
they
that
both
one?
Cried and hugged their coaches after the game.
Yeah,
yes, I remember that
was
very
on
well.
Basically the final play of the game. So that was an awesome, awesome game. And please, let's have a game like that this week. Please.
That'd be great.
I don't care which of the four it is, but let's have a game that you remember.
We will. I think we will. I think there'll be one of those classic games somewhere in this weekend. Maybe it's the Broncos and Ravens, Ray Lewis versus Peyton Manning. Could be that Packers-Falcons, could be that Packers-49ers game. Who knows? Maybe the Texans come to play, not unlike they did in Week 14. Patriots, Texans could be, that definitely could happen this weekend. One of those classic playoff games. I can see that.
Well, we'll get to our predictions here in the last half hour of the show, I believe, right?
Yeah. What do you say we bring on our friend Olivier, who's on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Olivier, thanks for calling in, my man. How you been?
I'm good. And yourself? Thanks for
We're
taking
doing
my
great.
Call.
You got it.
Excellent. Excellent. So how have you guys been? Everything okay?
Everything's good. Thank you.
Yes. I've been listening to your analysis, and I think that right on. I think from a Patriots-Texans perspective, I think the Texans are going to come in, and they're going to throw everything they have, including the kitchen sink. So I think it's going to be a very, very, very tough game, and hopefully experience prevails. But I think it's going to be whomever has the most amount of heart will win. I think that we should fear the Texans, and I think they are a good football team. They not necessarily have played very well, but I think after the embarrassment that they suffered 5 weeks ago, they have some scores settled, and therefore, you know, we should not take these guys very lightly. And hopefully, I think Belichick is doing this and preparing the troops to, you know, to make sure that the players have forgotten what happened 5 weeks ago and to be in a position to be professional and exceptional at their craft.
I agree with you, Olivier. I mean, and Bill, we talked about this at the top of the show. I'm of the mindset, I really think that the Texans need to just go for broke here. I mean, yeah, establish the run, of course. But, man, they've got to just play, leave it all out there, and just trick plays, bombs. They got to try it all. I really think they can't play this game conservatively yeah, you know, you want to establish the run, but there's a difference between establishing the run and throwing safe passes and just, throwing in some trickeration. They've got to try it all, Bill. I just don't think that they can play conservatively. If I'm a Texans fan and they try to play conservatively, I would be extremely angry because they will not win.
I think they have to get out of their comfort zone. You know, a lot of people say, well, they are what they are. You know, they do something very well, but they don't are not creative, especially on the defensive side. You know, someone was saying that the defensive coordinator of the Texans does well the first year, but then he regresses the second year and so forth. So you're right, Todd. They have to do something totally different, unexpected, that the Patriots are going to have to address during the game. Because if not, unless the Patriots shoot themselves in the foot, you know, it's going to be a tough game for the Texans. And especially the weather is going to be nice also.
And Bill and Olivia, I mean, if you were listening, Olivia, we just kind of harkened back to last year's exciting Saints 49ers game. And we talked about how Alex Smith, I mean, he threw for 300 yards, and it was very surprising. But they were throwing it all over the place. They were calling, aggressive plays, especially in that second half, and they won the game. I think that's kind of what Matt Schaub's going to have to do here. Whether he's up to the task is a whole nother story. That's a whole nother argument. He might fall flat on his face. But if I'm a Texans fan, I'd rather try it than to just play close to the vest.
Yeah, agreed. I agreed. Before I let you go, guys, did you enjoy the chocolates?
Yeah, they were delicious.
Yeah? Okay. Then
now, what's next? Where are you going next? And, what other goodies do you have coming our way?
That's a very good question. Next is probably Spain. What I could bring you, I'll have to decide. But I'll probably stop by Brussels again. I'll get you more chocolates if you want.
Nice. Why don't you go to Amsterdam?
Well,
yeah, bring me back a brownie.
I think that is a trip we shall all take together.
No one got that?
Yeah, I got the brownie. I think our guest earlier on the show might have been to Amsterdam. Was that where he was calling in from, Bill?
Could have been.
Did he sound like he was
A little bit.
Under the influence.
There's no hope with dope.
No hope with dope, Olivier. Stay out of Amsterdam. It's not good for your health.
That's true. I agree.
So, Olivier, if
your system we have, yes, I agree.
Olivier, yes. If two things, then we'll let you go. Number one, if the Patriots get to the Super Bowl in New Orleans, are you there?
I am.
Definitely, no doubt about it. You're in the Superdome.
Yes, so I've been trying to schedule my birthday party, which is on the 22nd of January, around the Super Bowl and around the playoffs and so forth. But we're supposed to do this the 2nd of February. But if the Pats make it, I'll make the arrangements. I'll be there. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Now, are you going to be there if they go?
If they don't go, Olivier, will you still be there?
No, I don't think so. I've made up my mind. I'll be enjoying some great wine in my house on my birthday.
If they do go, and Todd and I are both there, will you buy us tickets?
No, but I'll buy you dinner.
Nice.
Who wants dinner? Nice, Todd.
I'll take a free meal. I'm an old man.
Oh my God.
Tickets.
I mean, Todd, I know you're an old man. It's either that or Social Security, so you'll have a great meal from me.
Thanks, Kevin. All right, Olivier. So what's your score prediction for this weekend?
I think it's going to be probably 28-21. I think one touchdown score or even something even closer, 25-28.
25-28. Yeah. I haven't heard that one yet.
Well, sorry, 26-29. How is that?
Oh, whatever, 26-29, even better.
One field goal, whatever the difference is.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Patriots win by 3. That's your prediction.
Yes, I think so.
All right. Olivia, we appreciate your calling in, and hope you have fun watching the games this weekend.
Will do. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for the chocolates, bud.
Bye.
I can't believe he denied me tickets.
That's a pretty bold thing to ask for.
No, it's not. He calls in every week. He loves me. He sends us chocolate. Sends us waffles. I thought for sure if the Patriots were in, he would have said, Bill, I would love to sit next to you with the game. You can entertain me throughout the whole game. Feed me your analysis about play-by-play and everything like that. I can't think of a better person to sit next to a game than myself. I'm a little disappointed that he said, no tickets, dinner. He wants to buy me dinner.
International man of mystery that is Olivier, right?
Yeah.
Dinner could be very interesting,
Tickets to the Super Bowl could be interesting. Dinner with another man, I don't know how interesting that could be.
Yeah.
And you happily took the dinner. Oh, I'll go to dinner. You were all over that.
I don't even think dinner in New Orleans?
I don't even think you heard me ask about the Super Bowl ticket. You just heard him say, I'll take you to dinner.
Oh, he's not
jumped right all over it.
He's not giving you tickets. Come on.
You know, you'd think Kevin would chime in and say, oh, don't worry, Bill. I got you covered. I work for the team that's going to make it.
Too busy looking at Kate Upton.
There you go. I'll tell you, I should make like a if we end up going to the Super Bowl this year, I should make like some kind of wish list for things to happen in the Super for things to happen to me during the week of the Super Bowl. Like get a kiss from get not, it doesn't have to be a kiss, but you know, take a picture with Kate Upton. You know,
I'd like to do more than take a picture.
No, I mean a realistic wish list, Kevin.
That's true. That's fair.
She's going out with a pro baseball player. I don't think I have a chance.
Who's she going out with now?
Justin Verlander.
Really?
Think so? Isn't that his name? I don't know. Baseball.
No, I mean I know who Verlander is, but I didn't know they were dating.
I think that's the case.
Have you guys ever been to her website?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Holy
did see,
Moses!
Did you see her tweet about the Notre Dame and Alabama and the Jets?
Yeah, it was great.
I didn't see
yeah.
the. No, I did see that. That's
someone
correct.
Definitely wrote that for her.
That got retweeted quite a bit.
Yeah, it did. But I'm saying, like, you know, she didn't come up with that.
She has this like video that you have to watch to get to her website. That's just amazing. It's like, you know, Golden Globes worthy.
What were we discussing that brought you to Kate Upton's website?
I don't know. A buddy of mine was just like, you have to see this. Like, go to her website. Because we were talking about her on Twitter. And then all of a sudden, it's led to this. I've awesome. Been mesmerized for the past half an hour.
I'm sure you have. All right. What do you say we go to break so that all of us can be mesmerized by Kate Upton's website?
Sounds good.
When we return, Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com will join us. We'll preview the other three games. We talked about a lot about the Patriots and the Texans. But when we get back, we'll do the rest of the three games on the playoff schedule for this weekend. That's all coming up next here on Patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
You're as cold as ice.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the cold, hard football facts right here on Football Nation.
That's right. That's right. Welcome back to Football Nation. Bill and Todd, we are joined, pleased to be joined by Kerry Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Football Facts. And, of course, he has his own show every Wednesday here on Patriots.com radio from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Kerry, my man, how's it going?
Doing well, but I got to admit, I think it's a better class of people on your show.
Meaning what?
Starting with you, Todd. Meaning we have a low class of people on my show. Have you heard that thing? Me, Pat Immig, Frankie Capobianco, I don't know.
You know, when Frankie C calls in, I wish I could come up with some kind of reality show for Frankie C.
He really needs it, doesn't he?
He's a special person.
Because you've met him, Bill, at the Super Bowl last year.
Met him? I spent a whole week with him last year in Indianapolis.
What's that?
I spent a whole week with him last year in Indy.
I know. He is a unique character, and we had some great spots yesterday. It was all good every time he's on. But it's just like I said, I appreciate being on with you. It makes me feel better about myself being on with another level of people, guys.
You know, the only thing that kind of brings us down a little bit is we all have that same dopey producer.
Well, that's a problem. That's a problem.
See, he's not even, like, paying attention. We're talking badly about him.
I just choose to ignore you.
He's looking at Kate.
Hey, Kevin set me up yesterday, okay? We had on one of our guests is who's been on a couple times when the Patriots play the Texans. It's a woman named Stephanie Stradley, okay?
Right, yeah.
And sure. She's known as Texans Chick, and she writes about Cold Hard and Football Nation quite a bit in her blog. And she's, you know, she's a friend of ours. She's been good to us. And she's a chick who knows football, and it's really cool to have her on. But when we had her on before the regular season Monday Night Football game when the Texans came to New England, she said she didn't want to give a prediction. And anyway, Kevin and Pat, my co-host, set me up and made me look bad in front of Texans Chick.
How's that? How did you?
Well, they said, oh, you know, they called her out. They called her out for picking the Texans over the Patriots, but then she denied doing it, and I couldn't remember if she had picked the Texans or not. And it was ugly, and I think Kevin purposely made me look bad.
There's nothing worse than a person making a pick, being wrong, and then reneging on the pick and not admit. Yeah, in my mind, that's unforgivable. And Patrick Immig and I were the truth seekers of the program and went back and, you know, dug up a little bit of audio. We had talked it over. I said, Pat, she's calling us wrong. She's calling us out. You know, were we wrong in calling her out? So then Pat, obviously, as, you know, any good co-host would do, tried to throw Kerry under the bus by saying, Kerry picked the Titans. And so then I was like, I can't let Pat just throw my boy under the bus. So I went back and pulled the audio, and we played it for her. And Kerry's right. She did seem a little bit embarrassed.
Yeah, well, yeah. So they embarrassed me. They embarrassed her. So that's the kind of radio we have at Cold Hard Football Facts.
Very lowbrow. Very lowbrow.
No, we, you know what we do is we, you know, we chat with the facts, and we try to have a little fun and everything, and it's all good. But what do you guys got going on? What's the big story there at Football Nation right now?
Todd, I'll let you answer that.
What's the big story of Football Nation? I mean, well, on Tuesday, you know, Kerry, we ranted all about the whole RG3 situation,
yep.
Right? I mean, what's your take on that? Before we get, you know, into these games here, it was kind of a perfect storm in my view. You had Robert Griffin III, you know, one of the most popular players in the league, whether, you know, you can question his abilities and versus Russell Wilson and all that, Kerry. But there's no doubt he's one of the more popular players, the franchise player of the Washington Redskins. He was hurt a month ago. They drafted another rookie who was pretty capable in his relief in a must-win game against Cleveland.
Yep.
Fast forward, and you got a playoff game. You got a 14-0 lead. He gets hurt with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. It's evident not only can he not run, and they're still calling running plays for him, he can't plant his foot. He cannot throw the ball.
It was ugly, especially that when he kind of ran around the left end there and ran out of bounds. And that's where I think everyone looked at it and saw, you know, kind of, you know, what passes for the open field in the NFL, where he clearly couldn't run.
It just drives me crazy. I mean, you know, all day long we work at Football Nation and we're writing about football and doing radio and all that, videos and all that good stuff. But, you know, I listen to a lot of the national shows, and am I alone in this? Like, what the hell was he doing out in the field? Like, what were they smoking? Once he got hurt, and you could just see that he was deteriorating as the game was going on.
Well, what were they doing? I think I disagree with you in general. First of all, you know, compared him to Russell Wilson, RG3 was the best quarterback in football this year, even as a rookie. You know, one of our stats is real quarterback rating, and the Washington Redskins were number one. And real quarterback rating isn't just passer rating. It looks at every different aspect of quarterback play to get the ball in the end zone as often as he did and not turn it over, which I thought was key, and to be able to run and pass the ball so effectively. It may have been the greatest rookie season of all time. I mean, a great player. So looking at that, Todd, I think I disagree with you because he's, that old line about dance with the girl who brung you. I know he's injured, but he's your quarterback. He's a football player, and I think you ride your stud, and you know.
No, man. I think that if he had been healthy all year and he got dinged up in this game, that's a whole other story. But he had knee injuries when they drafted him. It's the same knee again. He has been hurt a month. You got to get him out of there. I don't get it. It's not like, I know this isn't how coaches think, but it's not like they were going to go and win the freaking Super Bowl. You know, now this guy, he might not be ready for next season. He might not play next season. Who the hell knows? They're saying, some say 6 to 8 months. Some say 9 to 12 months. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean, I think Todd, what you and I differ is that this is what he does. I mean, this is your job. This is what you do. And if you can't play, then what good are you? I mean, you got to play. I mean, I look at you got to play. And I should remind you, gentlemen, okay, that I played an entire season of Quincy youth football with a broken rib. Okay,
oh,
so I understand.
You've been there.
I've been there. I tell my wife that all the time. She's like, you're pathetic. With that said, I do think, you know, I think was it Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick who said it, players play.
I don't know, man. He just looked so awful out there. And, you know, what after the three-minute mark in the first quarter, I think, what, they had 41 yards of offense the whole rest
And I do think the fact Kirk Cousins, he did play well when he was in there, right, earlier in the season, right? He put up some nice numbers. Part of that, kind of one of the forgotten stories of how great rookie quarterbacks had played this year. But I think Seattle, even with the healthy RG3, Seattle really took control of that game. I mean, they could not be stopped. They ran up and down the field on what was a very porous all-year Redskins defense. And if not for that Marshawn Lynch fumble, I think it was Lynch at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
That you know, that game could have got out of hand. And I do think Seattle, even with a healthy RG3, was probably the better team.
That's a whole different story. I totally agree with that. I don't know. That just kind of bothered me. We'll say, hey, we'll fast forward to next September and see if he can play or if Kirk Cousins is our new starting quarterback.
Hey, Adrian Peterson came back from a very bad injury, and you know, I think the game's changed so much that you know the recovery time and what medicine's able to do is pretty remarkable. You wonder what if you're into football history, you know, Gale Sayers made the Hall of Fame basically on six seasons in which half of which he was injured. If he played in the modern NFL with medicine the way it is, Gale Sayers might have played a full career, but he had all these knee injuries. You wonder what he might have done. So, you know, based on what happened to AP and some other players recently, RG3 could be back fully healthy in time for week one. I mean, and, you know, look at Wes Welker here in New England, right? I mean, he got injured at the end of, what was it, Kevin? The end of the 2010 season against Houston. I forget, but he returned, or 2009 season, returned a year later, you know, by week one of the next season, fully ready to play. So I think RG3 could be good to go given the state of medicine today.
Enough about Redskins. They're out of the playoffs. Let's focus on the teams that are still alive. Big matchup this weekend, AFC, the first playoff game, first divisional game of the weekend, Ravens versus the Broncos. Kerry, the last time these two teams met, it was just in Week 15, not too long ago.
Yep.
Denver dominated that game, won 34-17. You know, the Ravens, it seems like a close game, but Ravens didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. What are your stats saying about this game? Do the Ravens have a shot? Obviously, you were pretty riding high on the Broncos all season long in your power standings.
Yeah, well, listen, rankings. Denver is the top ranked team in the AFC. They are the number one team, number three overall in the number three league wide, but number one in the AFC in what we call passer rating differential, which we call the mother of all stats for a variety of reasons. Denver's a better team, guys. But you know, we talked about this yesterday on the Cold Hard Show, and I've talked about it elsewhere this week as it relates to the Patriots-Texans. You know, the Patriots dominated in December. That doesn't mean they're going to dominate in January, so I'd hold out that caveat for Denver-Baltimore. Remember, the Patriots beat up the Broncos back in October.
Right.
I mean, really beat them up. It was 31-7 in the fourth quarter. So I think, you know, rematches are usually different. I think the difference is that Baltimore could not run the ball that game a couple weeks ago. Denver ran the ball very well. I mean, they basically ran the ball. I'm looking at the numbers now. 45 rush attempts for Denver, 28 for Peyton Manning. That was a game the Broncos won in the trenches and on the ground. And, I don't know if we're going to see that again. I do think Denver's a better team. I do think they win. I right now, reassessing our picks after the regular season, before the postseason, I have Denver winning the Super Bowl right now. I think they're the best team in football. But I think we still have the opportunity to see a pretty good – pretty good game, guys, unlike the wild card round where every game kind of, there was not a lot of good football, you know, not a lot of good games anyway in the wild card round. I think that changes this week, and I'd like to see this one a little better and think it will be a little tighter.
Which game of the four this weekend do you think might be the closest call or the most entertaining of the bunch?
Well, it depends on how you define it. The closest game, I do believe, at least statistically, believe it or not, is going to be New England and Houston.
Really?
The Patriots are not going to blow them out again, guys. And the example everyone's been talking about here in New England, and I wrote about it this week, I just in my column on Patriots.com, which folks can check out, and elsewhere, if you go back to 2010, the Patriots in December on Monday Night Football beat the Jets 45-3, humiliated the Jets, much like they humiliated the Texans also in December on Monday Night Football. And then come the divisional round in the playoffs, the Jets won that game. You know, that's what I'm saying, where, you know, past performance does not guarantee future results. And I think statistically, actually, these two teams, Houston and New England, are a lot closer than that one game indicated. And I think Houston can come in here and give the Patriots a game. I do think elsewhere, I think Seattle's better than Atlanta, guys. I think Atlanta is benefiting from the softest schedule in football, only three quality opponents. Seahawks, guys, six wins over quality teams. The most in football. No other team had more than four. Seattle is battle-tested. They've beaten good teams, and I think they're a better team than Atlanta right now, simple as that. And I think the Colin Kaepernick decision is going to haunt the 49ers, and it's going to haunt them this week when Aaron Rodgers outplays Colin Kaepernick, whereas in week one, when the 49ers won at Lambeau Field, Alex Smith totally outplayed Aaron Rodgers, something you don't usually see. So I think in each case we should see good football, and I think we'll see some surprises. I like two underdogs on the road, quite honestly.
What do you think there, Bill? I think Kerry's taken – we haven't made our official predictions yet. We'll do that in a few minutes. But I think Kerry and I agree on Seattle. Kerry, I just want to see Seattle and Green Bay in the rematch.
I do too. Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, right?
the replacement rematch?
Yeah, I'm telling you, they should wheel out Lance Easley to do the ceremonial coin toss at the beginning.
I'm sure Packer fans at Lambeau would love that.
I mean, it could be. It could be. And listen, at the end of the day, it'll turn out that that Golden Tate touchdown didn't really affect anything in the big picture of those two playing the title game. Wow. But it would be a great storyline.
It's true. It would have given the Packers a bye.
I agree. But I'm saying in the big picture,
they would have gotten there anyway.
In the NFC title game, at the end of the day, it would not have really mattered because the 49ers, the Seahawks probably still would have made it as a wild card. But still, the storyline itself is going to be brilliant. I root for stories, guys.
I'm with you.
Bill, do you think Atlanta superior, San Francisco superior?
I think the Falcons win. I think the Packers win. I think the Broncos win, and I think the Patriots win.
So we all like Green Bay on the road at San Fran.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Kerry, I think you're going to
all about the quarterback.
You're going to agree with me here. I love Colin Kaepernick as like the future of the franchise and all that, but I disagreed. If they want to win a Super Bowl this year, I disagree with Colin Kaepernick. They're going to have to win three games in a row with him in the playoffs. I don't know, man. I'm not a huge Alex Smith guy, but I think he might have been the way to go in the playoffs.
Let me tell you something, okay? I did a story on this being a mistake this week in my Sports Illustrated column, okay? Alex Smith, like I said, totally outplayed Aaron Rodgers, and we look all the time at passer rating because if you win the passer rating battle, by the way, down here in the stretch, since week 15, if you have a higher passer rating, you are 47-5, guys.
Wow.
That's 904 winning percentage, including 4-0 in the wild card round. The 49ers won in week one. Alex Smith had a passer rating of 33 points higher than Aaron Rodgers.
Hmm.
Not only that, guys, listen to this. This is, and by the way, his passer rating 6 points higher than Colin Kaepernick's. When they benched him, Alex Smith had a higher completion percentage, higher average per attempt, and higher passer rating than Tom Brady. Now, here's what's amazing. They played the Cardinals, okay, before the game against the Rams when Alex Smith got injured. And those basically six quarters of football, first of all, against the Cardinals, Alex Smith completed 18 of 19 passes. With three touchdowns, he had 157.1 rating, the highest completion percentage in an NFL game in the history of the NFL.
Really?
Against the Cardinals, who, by the way, finished number one in the NFL in defensive passer rating. The Cardinals, despite their offensive struggles, were the best pass defense in football. He completed 18 of 19 passes. Then he comes out against the Rams, the week he was injured, completes 7 of 8 for 72 yards, another touchdown, and 144 rating before his concussion. So this is what happened. In his last six quarters, Alex Smith completed 25 of 27 passes for 304 yards, 11.3 yards per attempt, four touchdowns, zero interceptions, 153 rating, and for all that, he got benched.
You know, but listen, you know what the lesson is that we take away from that?
What?
Don't get a concussion.
No, you know what? I mean, it's that kind of league, you know. If the guy behind you is super talented, you get hurt. You know, look at Tom, no better example than Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe. But listen, guys, they're playing the wrong quarterback, like Todd said. Colin Kaepernick may be the quarterback of the future, but they're playing the wrong quarterback. They took a step back statistically. They are less likely to win this game based upon empirical data than they would have been with Alex Smith at quarterback.
I mean, Alex Smith last year in the playoffs, okay, we talked about it earlier in the show, Kerry. You know, exciting game, exciting come-from-behind win against the Saints. He threw for 299 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, a quarterback rating of 103. The next game against the Giants, they lose a heartbreaker in overtime. And quite frankly, you know, he had nothing to do with that loss. You know, they fumbled that away on the special teams.
He didn't complete a pass to a receiver. What do you mean he didn't have anything to do with that loss?
I'm saying he didn't have anything to do with the loss.
He completed half his passes with two touchdowns. He didn't turn the ball over.
That's what that team needs.
Not one wide receiver caught.
Who cares who catches the ball?
Bill, if they don't fumble those punts, they're in the Super Bowl.
He did not lose that game.
See, this is the difference.
He didn't do anything to win it.
He played winning football.
I agree with that, Bill. And this is where
that's winning football.
This is where I differ, and I'm saying that Matt Schaub needs to take some chances. I believe on Sunday to win. The Niners are the opposite. The Niners, I think, are built to win with a game manager type guy. And I don't know. I just think that this is going to come back to bite them in the butt. And I think, Kerry, you told us last week or maybe on Tuesday, the Niners have not won three games in a row all year long.
All year, yep.
I looked at it after you told us that. It was like win-win, loss, win-win, loss, win-win, tie, win-win, loss. And, that, you know, to win it all, they got to win three in a row. And I don't know, man. I just think they're making a mistake here.
I agree. I think the numbers, I think it's going to be a proven mistake this week. And it's like I said, guys, I look at those numbers at win and lose games, and they took a step back when they played Colin Kaepernick. Everyone's excited by the athleticism. But really, he had one great game. He played through four touchdowns against the Patriots, who we know struggle to stop the pass. And his other games have not been great. Like I just told you, Alex Smith was on fire when they benched him. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. I'll run through some of the numbers. First of all, he had that great game against the Packers in week one. In week five, granted this is against the Bills, okay? But he completed 75% of his passes, 303 yards, three touchdowns, 156 rating.
Right.
I told you what he did in week eight against the Cardinals, who were the best pass defense in football, an NFL record for completion percentage, three touchdowns, no interceptions, 157 rating. And then he's playing very well against the Rams. Before he gets hurt, guys, this was the wrong guy to bench at the wrong time. He was playing as good as almost literally, and I'm not overstating it, as any quarterback has played in the history of football in terms of efficiency.
All right. We'll see what happens with the Packers and the 49ers this weekend. Colin Kaepernick is the starter, much to Kerry Burns' dismay. Kerry,
well,
thanks so much for joining us.
The dismay of 49ers fans when the game's over.
All right, we'll see. Kerry, thanks so much for joining us,
right,
and have a lot of fun. Big weekend of NFL playoffs.
All right, guys, always a pleasure. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye. All right, there you go, Bill. I agree with Kerry on a lot of those things, my friend. And I agree with you. I know what you're saying about the Alex Smith performance against the Giants, and he certainly was very conservative, but
he doesn't lose the game for them.
Right.
If you want a quarterback that won't lose you the game, then Alex Smith is that guy. But you know what? He's playing the Green Bay Packers this weekend. Aaron Rodgers probably going to put a lot of points on the board. In my mind, Colin Kaepernick is the better quarterback to get the 49ers on the scoreboard.
This week, perhaps, that we're all picking them to lose.
We're all picking the 49ers to lose.
Yeah. I just think that, again, it's they got to win three in a row. And I'm not a huge Alex Smith guy, but I think that he gives them a better chance. But, hey, why don't we in the final minutes here, Bill, why don't we do some quick predictions and previews here. Let's start with the Ravens and Broncos. That is the first game on Saturday at 4:30, correct?
Now, remember, this is the game they played just a few weeks ago in Week 15. It was the first game the Ravens had without their offensive coordinator, Cam Cameron. And their offense just looked terrible. They didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. I'm picking the Broncos. I'm not going to say a blowout, but I'm never going to be watching this game and say, wow, the Broncos could lose this one.
Oh, boy, Kevin has a soundbite.
Broncos a horse, right?
Was that the horse from Animal House that they shoot? And then?
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm calling a blowout here.
Blowout? You think blowout?
37-17. Ray Lewis will not be dancing after this one.
I think the Broncos win. 34-17 was the last one. You're going with 37-17. I think it's going to be. I'll go with 31-20.
All right, I'm writing it down.
I'll go out on the limb.
What?
Ravens win the game.
Oh, please!
Ridiculous. All right, Packers versus 49ers.
All right, he dismisses me.
He doesn't even. You gotta,
that's okay. That's
Bill,
okay. I just had to get it on the air. That's all.
Bill, hold on. Hold on a second. All right, give me two reasons
why.
Well,
Kevin, listen, this could work both ways. You can look like a genius, and you could have the sound clip of me saying ridiculous and not giving you a second shot of saying anything, or it could work horribly against you. So, you know, be
that's
very
true.
Careful. Tread very carefully here.
It's like
if
the
you
other.
You think the Ravens are going to win the game? Make your point, but just remember,
next week we
can come out and say,
no,
look
I
at
know.
Our idiot producer,
it's
Kevin.
It's like I was the only one in the entire Patriots.com radio platform that picked the Seahawks to win that game against New Orleans a few years ago. And I was told I was an idiot, and you know I was called names and this, that, and the other thing. But it's fine. I got the last laugh.
All right, so what's your prediction?
I'm going to go Baltimore. I'm going to say it's going to be lower scoring than you guys. I'm going to say Baltimore 27, Denver 24.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, you know, in your favor here, Kevin, Denver is 2-5 in their last seven playoff games.
I think that, you know, as much as I don't like the Ravens defense, I think Peyton's going to throw a couple picks now, whether they're kind of unfortunate deflected passes or whatever. I can see him throwing a couple interceptions in this game, and I think that's going to be the difference.
Let me check the weather here while we're talking.
I think it's supposed to be crummy. I think it's going to be bad.
Kevin, what was your score? 27 what?
27-24 Baltimore.
27-24.
And Todd, let me know when you. I haven't looked that up myself, but I thought I heard
Saturday,
through the grapevine.
Oh, man.
Snow?
No. 20% snow. The high is 19.
Yeah, that's cold.
Oh,
and I think
yeah,
that affects
baby.
Manning a little bit, too. You know, I don't know. It's hard to make the argument that he can't play in the cold. He has played in the cold.
You know, why does this only affect, like, I don't understand. Why does the 19-degree weather only affect
it
Peyton
doesn't.
Manning? What about the other 22 players
it
on
doesn't.
The field?
The argument that I make, Bill, is that, you know, I actually side with you on this and say all those games that he played in the cold while he was in Indianapolis Colt were road games. So this time, it's obviously harder to play on the road.
Right.
So this time, so what? He's in the cold, but he's at home. So I think it kind of levels it out, but I just think that, I don't know. It could be – he could stiffen up a little bit, that old neck, and, you know, maybe the Ravens go on a nice drive and starts, you know, needing
Bill,
a little
Bill, we're talking to a Patriots fan
there.
Here who wants a home game in the AFC title
I do.
Game.
I do. I'm not going to lie to you.
Let's move on. Packers 49ers, that's the second game on Saturday night. Now, Todd, this is the one that you're looking forward to. This is your premier game of the weekend, right?
I like both the NFC games. I think they're going to be both be very entertaining, yes.
All right, last time these two teams played, it was week one, season opener. The score was 30-22. San Fran went into Lambeau and beat the Packers 30-22. Let's see if the Packers can return the favor as they travel now to San Francisco. Todd, what's your prediction?
I'm going to take the Packers. They are my Super Bowl pick. Can't stray from that now. I'm going to give them a 26-20 win.
26-20. Kevin, what do you got? You're going to go with the 49ers?
I'm going to go with the 49ers.
Okay.
I'm going to go 28-24 49ers.
28-24 49ers. See, listen, you know, I would love to think that the 49ers defense can shut down Aaron Rodgers, but that means the 49ers offense has to outscore Green Bay.
Well, I think the Packers defense is just awful. So,
what was your score again? I didn't write it down.
28-24 San Francisco. I have no respect for the Packers defense whatsoever.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So if you think the Niners defense is that good that they can stop Aaron Rodgers, then I think you're right. I think the Niners do have a shot, but I'm going to take the Packers anyway. It's going to be a close game. I'm going to do 31-28.
So I'm
Mason
different.
Crosby, who has struggled all season, kicks the Packers in
so
the
I'm,
NFC Championship
so I've
game.
Picked – my picks are different. You guys have been lockstep the first two games, and I like this. I like
all
this.
All right. Sunday's action. We got the Seattle Seahawks taking on the Atlanta Falcons. You know, the Seahawks are red hot. Todd, I know you like Russell Wilson. Marshawn Lynch has been in beast mode all season long. Who wins the Battle of the Birds?
Seahawks, baby. 34-31 in overtime.
Oh, we have an overtime game.
I like it. I like it.
Yes, the Falcons are going to come from behind to tie it in the final minutes. Okay. Matt Ryan's going to convert like a long 3rd-and-14 or something. The Falcons are going to have all the momentum in overtime, and they're going to lose. And Seattle's going to win.
34-21.
34-31 overtime,
31,
Bill.
Sorry.
There's no 13-point play in overtime.
I couldn't read my own handwriting. I couldn't read my own handwriting.
There you go. What do you got?
Kevin, what do you got?
I'm going to take the home team here. I just think that Atlanta has been getting ready for this game all year long. People saying they can't win a playoff game. With the Seattle losing arguably their most dominant pass rusher, I think they've had a good run, but I think it comes to an end here. I think that Atlanta, this is a put-up or shut-up game, and if they don't win this game, then I think, you know, Matt Ryan and that crew with Smith and Dimitroff, and, you know, they're exposed for the frauds that I think they still are.
Kevin, we don't agree very often, probably only once this entire season when we made that bet against Todd, but I agree with you here. I think it is time for Matt Ryan to really step up, get that playoff
monkey
his back. You know, I like what the Seahawks have done this year. You said it. They had a great season. It's been a good run. But I think it stops down
what's,
there in the
what's
Georgia
the
zone.
Score there, Bill? I haven't really thought the score through.
You know, I think the Falcons are going to come out hot. And
put some
I wouldn't
points
be
up.
Surprised if the score is something along the lines of like 34-14 or
whoa!
38-17. Yeah, I think the Falcons win big.
Okay,
so I'm going to go final score 38-17.
All right, I'm going to go Atlanta. I'm going to go Atlanta 27, Seattle 20.
Okay. And you're going to take the Falcons.
Yep.
Bill, 38-17, really?
I guys, listen, I don't know what it is. But I think the Falcons just come out firing.
I see the light, Bill.
And they just knock the Seahawks out, and they're not going to have any answers for them. You know, it is tough, guys, traveling to the East Coast twice in 7 days. That's what Seattle's going to have to do. It messes with your body. Yeah, it messes with your body a lot. Like, you know, jet lag, it's a real thing. They have to go all the way back to Seattle after beating the Redskins on Sunday. Now they have to travel back to the East Coast down in Atlanta this weekend. That's tough.
I tell you what, if Todd's right and Seattle wins this game, you know, for as much as it will say about the Falcons, I will really, really be impressed with Pete Carroll's Seahawks if they can pull this off. Because they have, I mean, Atlanta's had, you know, multiple weeks to rest, get their horses healthy and in order.
Right.
You know, they're putting everything into this game, you know, after the failures of playoffs past, especially at home. I mean, this is a franchise-defining game.
Totally 38, Bill, 38 points. I just looked it up here, all right? Seattle Seahawks played 16 games, actually 17 to count the playoff game. 17 games. 14 of those 17 games, they gave up 20 points or less.
Listen, I'm not going to go back on my pick now.
No.
I said 38-17. That's what I got.
What are you, that Houston Texans chick? You can't do that.
Yeah, I'm not. What do you want me to do?
All right,
just because you looked up some stats, you want me to change my pick? That's going to be the score, 38-17.
All right.
I can't help it that I'm the football version of Nostradamus. It just comes to me.
Nostradamus.
You're 0-2 on your bets, buddy. And that's not even including the Cam Newton.
Still got one left.
The Bengals thing.
Oh, Kevin can't wait to get this prediction out. Patriots versus the Texans.
All right. I'm going to start off. I'm going to predict what Kevin's prediction is going to be. How about that?
All right. I like that.
All right. Kevin will predict 42-3.
You know, something along those lines. It might be a shutout in Kevin's mind.
Shutout, huh? Ooh, I like it.
Shutout. Could intriguing. Be. You never know. We'll find out in a second.
I'd like an old 3-0 old-fashioned shutout. That'd be nice.
No, you know, in all seriousness, Kevin, we'll let you go first.
All right, I'm going to say the Texans cover the spread of 9.5. I'm going to go 31-24 New England.
31. Wow, you and I think alike. I have 30-23.
What do you have, Todd?
I have 30-23.
30-23.
We think alike on one of these. This is the first time we agreed all these four games, Kev.
I like it.
I'm going to go with 28-24, Pats win. We all think the Pats win this weekend?
Yep.
All right.
Book
we'll
it.
See who's right. We will see who's right. Quickly, let's just recap. Todd and I are taking the Denver Broncos. Kevin is taking the Ravens. Todd and I are taking the Packers. Kevin is taking the 49ers. Kevin and I are taking the Falcons. Todd is taking the Seahawks. And then all three of us are taking the New England Patriots.
So, Kevin, you would have the rematch of last year's AFC title game once again.
Yep.
Oh, he likes
minus
that.
Billy Cundiff.
Yeah, he's right. What, on the 49ers now? Did I hear that today?
But David Akers won the job. They just came out and said.
Gotcha.
All right, folks. Well, we made our predictions. We'll see what happens this weekend. Todd and Kevin, any closing thoughts before we go?
Go Pats.
Todd?
Go good games. Let's have a couple good games, please.
All right. Thanks for listening to Football Nation. Have a lot of fun this weekend. It's going to be a great NFL playoffs are here. Can't wait to watch it. We'll see what happens next week. We'll be back next Tuesday, Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Something wrong with the world today. The light bulb's getting dim. There's meltdown in the sky. If you can judge a wise man by the color of his skin. I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay,
that's a huge compliment.
Yeah,
Todd DeBreeze and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.